the Knotcast, episode 361, Total Eclipse of the Knot. I'm your host, Scrooge McDuck.
Ugh.
I need to see that.
And I'm Saverin.
And I'm Shiva.
And Fuzz is being very Scottish this week.
I'm being well Scottish.
You're Scottish every week.
I am, yeah.
But are you sufficiently Scottish? I don't see you wearing a kilt.
I'm not wearing a kilt.
So, man, it's been 2 weeks. I sure hope nothing earth-shattering happened at all. Oh, wait. Oh, dear. So last week we were just being silly and stirring shit on Twitter, and man, we didn't record, and here we are this weekend.
If we had just recorded, that might not have happened.
No, bad shit was going to happen regardless, but it was just like, wow, there's a lot to talk about. No stuff that we necessarily want to discuss. Because I'm sure a lot of us have been inundated with it.
Just a little.
I mean, we won't discuss it in detail because we don't want to spoil it for anybody. But we will briefly discuss the DuckTales pilot.
Yeah.
And the Juggalos.
Because that happened and it's very important.
It is. And it's a lot of fun. And I quite enjoyed it. I downloaded it from a good friend. But of course, Disney has put it up on their YouTube channel, Disney XD. You can totally go watch it. Legally on YouTube, watch the first hour-long episode of DuckTales.
In certain countries.
I haven't seen it. Did they keep the theme?
Yeah.
It's the same theme, but it's re-recorded. It has a different band doing it.
Yeah. But it's the same dialogue, same lyrics.
Same characters. It's just really good.
What's really cool also is that they've pulled the art style from the Scrooge McDuck comics that began in the 1940s and have translated it into a cartoon.
I noticed it has a much more muted color palette than the original cartoon, but it's like closer to what the comics look like.
Nice. Yeah. And a lot of like the paintings in Scrooge's house are like old covers or incidental art from the
Like one of the promo images I saw was like straight up a fucking Karl Barks. Straight up one of his comic covers was like the one of the promo art pieces that they'd redone.
It was a lot of fun. It was basically one 42-minute long reestablishing episode.
Yeah, it's basically like the first two episodes. It's like a two-part pilot that they aired all as one shot.
And you can kind of tell the split, you know, after the first half with the mystical artifacts and whatnot. He's like, well, guess what, kids? We're going on a field
trip.
We're
going on an adventure.
And then that would be the second episode with the introduction of Glomgold. Glomgold Industries. The adventure to Atlantis.
And I will be the richest duck in the world.
I didn't expect for them to like drop the ball or anything, but I was quite happy with it.
Yeah, totally.
I thought that the characterization of the triplets wasn't bad at all. I like that Webby is literally just a more focused Mabel from Gravity Falls. The same voice actress, I think.
Huh.
Eventually, she too gets a grapple gun. Yes. You saw the promo where it's them playing with the dart guns.
Yeah, yeah.
And that wasn't in the first two episodes, but she's got the grapple gun and she's the completely capable girl character who's there just as good as the triplets.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a neat show.
I'm assuming we can watch it without having to like subscribe to Disney's fucking
thing. if it's purchasable on iTunes, I'll do that. But if it's not, I guess I just won't watch it. I mean, it's not like I have a ton of time for watching cartoons anyway.
I know some people that'll probably DVR it and get it up there, and that's cool. Then Disney will kick down their door and drag them out by their toes, but that's them, not me, I guess. The show was a lot of fun. I really liked it.
Yeah, and there's totally some name drops that connect it to other Disney Afternoon series.
Yep.
We already know that Darkwing is going to be in it at some point. And we also know that Gizmo Duck is going to show up.
I always love Gizmo Duck.
So that's cool.
They name drop St. Canard, and they name drop Spoonerville. And they also name drop Cape Suzette.
Yes.
Which, the characters in the show have smartphones, so it's not set in the 1930s.
No, it's definitely set in modern times.
So you just have, like, ancient Baloo and grown-up old-ass Kit. The Iron Vulture shows up and it just falls out of the sky.
Don Carlos. Apparently, they do mention Sky Pirates at some point.
Oh, I must have missed that.
So, I hope they bring back Tailspin. It'd be really cool, but I don't really want them to make Tailspin modern era. Because that 1937
pulp
time frame was really cool, and like that sort of pulpy
Art Deco
kind of style. Yeah, that was super super cool about Tailspin.
Then you had the evil communists in Russia, or the Boers, whoever they were, I forget their name.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's been years since I watched Tailspin. I need to do that.
It was/is on Netflix for the moment. I think, until Disney pulls all their shit off.
Cause... Tailspin wasn't. I don't think any of the Disney Afternoon shows were on Netflix. But what Disney had on Netflix was a lot of their movies for a while. And then they pulled all that. And I don't know if, like, other Disney XD shows, like Clone Wars... Like, it was on Netflix. I don't know if they're going to pull that, too.
Well, it looks like they didn't have it on there, because I thought I'd seen it, but I know they put out, like, DVD sets of the show. But
so I was
probably super out of print, too.
I was reading about that the other day, and, like, so Tailspin was released in 3 volumes. You know, roughly 20-something episodes apiece, because add the whole, like, 65-episode run for syndication. But apparently, like, Rescue Rangers and DuckTales were only ever released, like, the first volume. So, people were discussing, like, wondering why, like, Tailspin got a full run. And apparently, like, Volume 3 came out, like, 7 years after 1 and 2 did. So, they're like, you know, somebody got to Disney and was like, I really like Tailspin. Let's finish this off and put it out years later. It was an article I was reading about it.
Been a very long time since I've seen Tailspin, but I have fond memories of it.
Yeah.
I
got my box set signed by Jim Cummings at Anthrocon when he was a guest.
Cool.
So that's nice. He voiced many characters, but the biggest characters of Tailspin were Louie and Don Carnage. We're trying to keep this show kind of upbeat and not go too deep into like politics and stuff, but I mean... that's getting more and more difficult lately.
Just a bit. Because, like, if we really wanted to, we could make 90-minute shows and just be, like, bitching about Jesus Christ, look what the fucking Cheeto did this week.
Yeah.
But I imagine that gets tiring after
a
while.
I do have to say, though, and, like, some stuff that came up on Twitter, like, I don't know how someone can listen to us for 8 years... follow any of us on Twitter for an extended period of time and think for a moment that we're remotely right-wing. You know, like
I'm pretty sure that was just somebody talking a line of shit. And
probably.
If they weren't, then they're welcome to fuck off, too. Yeah, after my shit-stirring last week with the stupid gay otter comic and its poorly inserted jabs at college leftist politics... said this one person to be like, I followed you for blah, and you're awful, and fuck you, I feel like I've wasted 8 years of patronage. And I'm like, well, if you've been listening for 360 episodes worth, then
you know
just
where...
now, if you're just now realizing how we lean politically, and the trigger for it is me critiquing shittily inserted politics in a fuck comic, what the fuck? Like, whatever, dude. Go away. Screw you. I don't need that bullshit.
It was very odd.
Yeah.
But let's not go too deep down that rabbit hole.
That one got a lot of coverage. And
yeah.
A lot of tweets and a lot of replies. And eventually muted it and haven't had any problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Because thanks to Twitter being able to mute conversations on tweets you make, if something goes viral, you don't have to see the... billion dumbass replies or mm-hmm. retweets or get the notification that such and such and 720 people, I didn't get that many, have retweeted your tweet.
Mm-hmm. Did you get 420?
No.
Damn.
I didn't get any cool numbers.
would it be fair to say that your Twitter feed was like a hurricane?
Yeah. It was quite the shitstorm.
You know, like that Neil Young song. I wasn't referencing DuckTales at all.
Oh, okay.
Now that we talk, I've got those two theme songs clashing in my head.
Well, you're the one that started doing the OEA from fucking Tailspin.
I know. I can't help it. The only, that one, DuckTales, Tailspin, and the Gummies Bear song. All
bouncing here and there and everywhere. Mm-hmm.
I could, and then of course I'm like, ah, oh, what's the Rescue Ranger theme? I don't remember that.
Oh, Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers.
Well, if anybody ever put this up on YouTube,
I remember the chorus, but I don't remember like any words of the rest of it.
I'm torn. Which I also really, really like Darkwing Duck.
You mean as a show, or
yeah? Out of all of the, it's like, which one did I like the best?
I'm trying to remember the theme song for Darkwing Duck, and I can't
fucking remember. I can't think of it, because all I can hear in my brain is clashing between DuckTales
and Tailspin.
So I can't think of any other song right now, because those two are going... I'm going to have to listen to both of them to get the earworm out of my head when we're done.
Let's get dangerous. Oh, I wonder if when Darkwing comes back, if... That's right, Jim Cummings also did Darkwing and Negaduck. So I wonder if he'll come back and do Darkwing again, because that'd be neat. Because like the original voice of Scrooge passed away a few years ago.
Oh,
Alan Young, who was known before for playing Wilbur on Mr. Ed, and that's the same actor that later played Scrooge in all the cartoons.
Did not know that.
Yeah, he played Scrooge from Disney's Christmas Carol. All the way through DuckTales and the DuckTales movie, and whenever Scrooge showed up, basically. But he had a long life. I mean, he was like nearly 90 or something like that when he died. But I mean, the new Scrooge McDuck is David Tennant.
Really?
Yep.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I did not realize that.
Using his hella Scottish accent, like I think, like he sounds more Scottish than he does when he's talking with his Scottish accent. Like I think he's upping the Scottish a little bit. For Scrooge.
It's always nice to see shows revived and it not be awful.
Excuse me. Yep.
And of course, there's already the assassin chick who immediately got Rule 34 over.
Of course. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's how the internet rolls.
I saw a screen cap of those three characters, her and the two canine characters, and they're like, where's our own show?
Yeah. So I had an interesting talk with Sarah the other day about...
DuckTales?
Kind of, actually.
Oh, okay.
And it was about... So, there's certain characters that I'm not too keen on seeing, like, adult art of, Rule 34 or otherwise. And I kind of figured out where my cutoff is for cool versus not. If it was something I watched as a kid, pre-puberty, I'm not super keen on seeing adult art of it. If it's something I came into it as an adult, then... I'm more prone to being cool with seeing adult art of it. If that sounds so DuckTales, Tailspin, all that. It's like, and even to some extent this ties into Sonic and some of the other characters. It's just, if it's something I had as a kid, I'm not super interested in seeing adult work of it. But if it's like Zootopia or something else where I came into it as an adult.
You want to fuck the bunny.
I'm far more okay and or... appealed to adult art of it.
My problem with a lot of like a Tailspin fan art is a lot of it is cub art.
Uh-huh.
It's like Kit and Molly or Kit and Baloo, and it's like,
It's like seeing Rebecca from Tailspin. That was the seeing her getting her railed. I mean, she was an adult character, but seeing like adult art of her, or what was it, Gadget from Rescue Rangers, or. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Where they're patently adult, it's not going to be cub porn or any of that.
Yeah.
You know, even if they're adult, it's like, I don't really want to see Rebecca getting railed. She was something, you know, this is a character from my childhood. But some of the stuff that's come later on, I'm more okay with. And then there's still caveats to that, like Thundercats. I'm fine with seeing some of their porn. But maybe it's because they're more of a comic booky style build versus cartoony build.
A lot of it's the character design for me too. Like
Flano and Chitara, but maybe not Wile E. Kid.
No. I would... Or Snarf.
Aww. Snarf, snarf. Snarf, snarf. Snarf my snarfer.
Like, what out of, like back in the day, I haven't read, like, a ton of Rule 34, but, like, back when I was first starting to read furry stories, one of the very first ones I read was Lion-O and Snarf.
Oh, no.
And it was like, Lion-O, I have to, like... You're becoming a man now, so I have to, like, introduce you to this thing, basically.
I'm kind of the same way, Shiva, because, like, when it comes to, like, DuckTales or, like, Rescue Rangers or aforementioned Tailspin, like, I don't find the characters were good cartoons, but then, like, I'm totally down for, like, Goliath porn from Gargoyles.
Yeah, that.
But he is, like, built to be this... mega stud gargoyle dude.
Yeah.
He probably has a big stone dick, you know?
Yeah, I have seen a lot of gargoyles or Brooklyn. Before, and I'm kind of okay with that.
That's the red one, right?
I will...
Yeah, he's a big leader dude.
I will
know, break... Goliath's the big leader, the red one. I thought the red one was hot.
Brooklyn?
That was Brooklyn. Okay, I was trying to remember the name, but I thought he was hot.
God, remember the names of your waifu, Saverin.
Because there was Brooklyn...
I liked his design.
What? I never saw that show.
Which one was... Because there's Brooklyn, wasn't there Bronx?
Bronx was the dog?
What was the heavyset one?
Was there one that they didn't like called New Jersey? That's all the rest of them are named Brooklyn.
Or Long Island.
He's always drunk.
Let's see, goddammit. I gotta
Which
look
is more of a reference to the iced tea than the actual people of Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm gonna, like, break with the general consensus here and say I totally think Gadget's hot.
I mean, she's okay, but I think a lot of it was just...
Oh my god, dude. Nerd hot, looking with the goggles, and just, And I love nerdy chicks, too.
So. I mean, I think if I was into macro-micro...
Yeah.
It's just one of those things, because a lot of 34 of her, specifically, is positive to her still being her tiny little cartoon mouse size.
Yeah.
And not, like, an adult-size anthro character.
Well, I've seen other ones where it's just... She's an anthro mouse, and it's like sort of a freestanding pose or something.
Oh, I mean, yeah,
totally I'm not
fine.
Showing up like a wolf.
It's like she's just like perched on the tiniest tip of your dick. It's like,
yeah,
it's like it's not gonna work. Damn,
just the tip, baby. That's all it'll fit.
Okay, so Hudson's the old one. Brooklyn is the red one. Lexington's the little green one.
Yeah.
Broadway is the big dude. Bronx is the dog-like. Angela is the naive daughter of Goliath and Demona. And from the season 3 that doesn't exist.
Was it bad or it just didn't get made?
It got made, but apparently wasn't very good. Apparently there is a character named Katana who was Brooklyn's mate.
Yeah. I love Gargoyles.
Huh.
They were I was so sad when they got, you know, canceled, because they were really good.
Apparently, Brooklyn and Katana had a kid named Nashville, but has a second Ed, which has been named Eguardo.
Eduardo?
Eguardo.
Egg?
E-G-W-A-R-D-O. And of course, he was,
And of course, Gargoyles had all of the Star Trek voice actors.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of...
Frakes. That would be another show that I wouldn't mind a reboot of.
All I know is, yeah, I knew that it had a lot of Star Trek actors, and I knew that Jonathan Frakes' character looked just like him.
Yes.
And Marita Sirtis was in it, and Brent Spiner.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I don't know if anybody else.
The guy who, Michael Dorn was in it, wasn't he, I thought? Michael Dorn was in it.
I want to say that he was.
I think he played...
Yeah, Othello was the name, was voiced by Michael Dorn.
Okay.
Gargoyles was one of the first Rule 34 I ran into.
Yeah.
Like, of
Keith David was the voice actor for Goliath.
Was he a voice actor of a fuck ton of other things, too?
Oh, yeah. He's super prolific. He was Anderson in the Mass Effect series. And so it's just like, Goliath,
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so wow. Here's a complete list on Wikipedia. It doesn't say who all they played, but it's a list of who they are. Marina Sirtis, Jonathan Frakes, Michael Dorn, Brent Spiner, we already said. Kate Mulgrew.
Oh, really?
Janeway. LeVar Burton.
Huh.
Colm Meaney, who plays O'Brien. Cool. Avery Brooks, who's Cisco. Nichelle Nichols.
Really? They got, like, everybody short of Sir Patrick.
Yeah. And they also had people that were... It lists everyone that was also a guest actor on Trek at some point. Who was the one I saw that I liked? Yeah, Tony J. He was in... Tony J is cool because he was in Star Trek. He was in Gargoyles. He also played Shere Khan in the Tailspin series.
Again, like a lot of the R-34... Like I've seen some of the R-34 of like Rebecca from Tailspin where it's just like she's drawn as a MILF in lingerie. All right, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But... not a lot of the other art of her is that, and like Baloo is drawn in a very cartoony style that I
yeah see that's the thing like I think like I think it's the toony thing like Baloo doesn't wear pants, so that's sort of like he's in that cartoony Disney neutered looking kind of way, but yeah. Rebecca's wearing pants
and a top
and sheer. And what?
Shere Khan's got a suit.
Shere Khan wears a suit, you know.
Don Carnage has pants.
Don Carnage has pants. Which means he has a dick.
It's a shame bears in this universe don't have dicks. They must like fucking bud or something.
Yeah.
Bear eggs.
Yeah, because the only clothed bears are the female ones.
Like the boar dudes didn't wear pants, I don't think. The smaller one didn't, but the one had a great coat that did.
So I think, yeah, I've determined that me thinking of a character sexually involves whether they wear pants or not.
Yeah, that does kind of play into it, because...
Because I know they're neutered if they don't, basically. Yeah. But like, it's also why I don't find, like, any of the ducks sexy in DuckTales, you know? Like yeah, Launchpad wears pants, but, like, I'm not into the featheries as such, I guess.
Just say no to Klaka.
I guess.
Well, see, also this extends to the Gadget. She wears her full bodysuit thing.
Yeah.
Whereas all the other characters in the show don't wear pants.
True.
Yep.
So we're doing some science here, man.
Does Monterey Jack doesn't. He has
Monterey Jack doesn't.
It's a sweater
pants.
And a jacket. Yeah.
Chip and Dale just wear their upper body clothes.
Yep. Zipper just wears a sweater.
And if you're into the fly, you're just freaky.
And Nightshade, the Batgirl. She doesn't wear any clothes.
I don't remember Nightshade all that much.
I think that's her name.
But yeah, oh, there's a whole generation of people that remember the Batgirl.
Oh, yep. Was that the one that Dale was super
into? I think Chip has the hots. I think maybe both of them.
It was one of them. Yeah, they double-teamed her. Like, we're going to make some babies from flying Bat-Chipmunk hybrid nightmares.
But yeah, I think that definitely wearing pants has some... You know, I have a hard time... Yeah, I mean...
Maybe it implies because if they have to cover up, they got something to hide.
That's right. We were just discussing this when you walked away a second. Don Carnage wears pants. That means he has a dick.
True. Baloo doesn't wear pants either.
Nope.
No.
And neither does Kit.
I guess if it's kind of jarring to see a character that you normally see without bits to suddenly have bits. But that doesn't play true with Nick Wilde at all.
No, yeah. No.
Because he wears pants.
Yeah, true. But I've seen him, yeah. I guess he does.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that, like that very first preview clip, like, you see him naked, and then they put the pants on him, and he zips up, implying that he does have
bits.
Well, he also covers himself, for modesty's sake. He's like, they don't wear clothes.
But you see him briefly without anything.
Yeah, but they're not going to animate a fucking dick and balls on the guy.
They'll leave that to us. They'll take care of that.
Exactly, yeah. You know those animators have a genital layer that they just flip off. They toggle off before they... Oh shit, we accidentally released the wrong version.
Or the... It's just like a Second Life object. They have to toggle it visible or not. It's always attached.
It's like, this is the special uncut Zootopia, the lipstick edition.
Yeah. This is when you go to the scene at the nudist club, it's lots of everything.
Have you seen the unnecessarily censored version of Zootopia? Where they add the bleeps where there aren't bleeps in the movie, but there's a longer one where they go to the nudist colony and there's massive blurring effects everywhere.
Oh, I haven't seen that, but that's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. It's like big censor bars.
There's a
all the giraffes just have like fucking dangly ones.
Yeah, yeah, big dangling. And the panther licking his leg. Yeah. Speaking of funny YouTube videos, though, someone made a really neat little animation called the new Doctor. I don't remember how many news they threw in there. So it starts with the regeneration scene. Whoosh. Grabs a mirror. I'm still not Ginger. And then, you know, going through the next scene, she's seen in the TARDIS wardrobe, and you hear her go, "Ah, oh, why do these have pockets?"
Oh.
And there's like, "Oh, I know, Missy left me a message in case this ever happened," and she plays it, and Missy goes, "Ah," and it's like 10 seconds of just Missy laughing, and then she says, "Drink cranberry juice," and then that's the end of the message.
Oh.
And then she calls up Bill, and Bill is floating in space. And this is sort of a spoiler, I guess. But Bill answers the phone. Awesome liquid space lesbian. That's how she answers the phone. And she's like, "Bill, I regenerated. Being a woman is really hard." And Bill goes, "You're still white, aren't you?" And then there's like silence, and then click. And then it goes back to Bill floating, and she says, "I hope someone told her to drink cranberry juice."
Yo, man, UTIs are no fun.
No, they're not.
Oh, also, as a random PSA, looks like GameStop stores, some of them, possibly all of them, are giving away battle-ready Slazzles. So if you play Pokemon, they're the pheromone fuck lizards. The one that everybody's like, "Oh shit, it's the Poke Waifu for the Scalies," back when Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon came out.
Oh.
It's that one. That, like, oh, its thing is it can control other Pokemon with its pheromones up to and including humans. And so, like, people are like, "Oh shit, yes, Rule 34 time." And apparently, you can go get one at certain GameStops.
I saw this
August 14th to September 4th.
I saw this little comic where, like, I guess someone was trying to breed to create a particular gender, and they're like, "Nope, you'll have to try again." And it shows a Ditto sitting, just sort of sitting there floating. And there's a Charizard that's looking exhausted and panting.
Mm-hmm.
Yo. It was a gamer cat comic where, like, "Man, they're Charmander. What the hell? Where's all these Charmanders coming from?" And they're just like, "Ditto." There was another one that was like, a single Ditto sitting on a couch surrounded by number one dad mugs.
That's cute.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, as long as you have any Pokemon and a Ditto, get to fucking. You're gonna be laying like 50 eggs. It happens. That's how it's gonna go.
So
that's how Pokemon breeding works?
Is that a canon thing? Do Pokemon hatch from eggs when they're born?
It is in the game and in the world, apparently.
Okay.
Like, very mammalian, but Pokemon eggs are the methodology in the games that they explain it. I'm sure that they have fucking live birth of, but for game purposes, you're given an egg, you have to walk a certain number of steps to hatch it, and
I love that, but this is a tangent, but I love that back in the day, they asked Lauren Faust how the ponies breed. And she answered in a normal mammalian way.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, "Oh yeah.
Ponies fuck." Well, they kinda have to. I mean, they've ponies have had kids on the show.
Like, yeah, but they might lay eggs, you don't know.
Nope. They give live birth in hospitals. Because horse hospitals.
Yep. And Mrs. Cake had kids, and one was a Pegasus and one was a unicorn, but they're both Earth ponies. And the dad's like, "Yeah, this happens sometimes. That makes sense, right?"
Yup. There was a comic by Jane Ayler back in the day. It's like him like, "Well, we finally did it after months of trying. She's pregnant." And
then there's like a Pegasus, and a
unicorn at the bar, and they're looking at their beers going, "Ooh."
Yeah.
That was a popular topic when that came out. Speaking of Pony, the most recent episode got some people kerfluffled.
Oh, I love the way you described this to me. Sorry.
Okay, so the most recent episode of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, Season 7, Episode fucking 14? I don't know. Anyways, it is basically, man, fandoms suck, the episode.
Are you covering?
It is an episode where they had a script and they modified it heavily. The main characters, back in season 4, they were writing down their lessons in a journal. They pull it out and it's not in the best shape. And she's like, huh, that's kind of a shame. One of the characters is like, hey, why don't we distribute this around so that people can learn from our lessons? And they're like, yeah, well, I don't really know how to duplicate books in Starlight. She's like, oh, I learned this great book duplication spell back when I was distributing my manifesto. And so she creates copies of the books for each of the main characters. And they're like, well, why don't we take it further and distribute it out to the Ponies of Equestria? And they do so, and they distribute it all around the country. And then they get fans. The episode opens with a couple of little kids that are having a fight, and they're like from previous generation ponies, and they talk through the friendship lesson. That's like the impetus of getting the episode going. But all the ponies that they encounter are adults, and they're discussing their characters. Or there's two ponies at a cafe, and they're discussing the book, and they're like, I really liked it, but man, that would have been way better if that Rarity pony wasn't in there. And Rarity is reading a newspaper at the table, like, right next to them, and she's like, runs away crying.
Aww.
And then you have, like, another scene where Twilight's talking to Pinkie Pie, and anything she says, people just bust out laughing, overreacting to everything. And she's like, quit! That's not funny. Please stop. And then one of the like Ponyville townspeople is like, oh, she's so much funnier in person. And she's like, you've known me for years. Rainbow Dash has a horde of children following after her. And they're like, yo, tell us a story. She's like, yo, I've got work to do. Please stop. And she makes a comment like, I can't even go to the bathroom without people bothering me. Which was an actual incident that happened in the fandom at a convention, not mine, where somebody harassed one of the voice actors in the bathroom.
And this goes on. Did you catch that, Shiva? That was actually a thing that, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, basically, you have people bullying Fluttershy. Like, Fluttershy, you learned the same lesson multiple times. Why is this? Which is, like, every single thing I'm mentioning is basically, it's a shot across the bow at a portion of the extant adult fandom.
Oh, you didn't mention the other one.
Which one?
Twilight was better before she had wings.
So, towards the end of the episode, there is a crowd of ponies outside of Twilight's new castle, and they literally get into a who is best pony fight. And an older character literally says the line, Twilight was better before she got wings.
Oh.
And what's funny is the episode's written by M.A. Larson, and M.A. Larson also wrote the episode where Twilight got wings.
And the episode 100, which was the total fan service episode. Like, yo, look, we're going to do all this goofy shit with the characters that you've liked. And this is my parting shot. It was all a mistake. It's been ultra divisive because basically the episode exists as the show staff, because Larson wrote a bare-bones script and the rest of the people worked on it, was basically like, you guys are really overdoing it when it comes to this show. I look forward to... There's a guy who goes by DWK who does totally legit recaps. It's a funny, like, episode recap YouTube series, and the guy does some fun stuff. But I just expect his video is going to be like, segment of the show with the red subtitle, fuck, insert faction here. Fuck the reactors. Fuck the analysis people. Fuck the people that literally tell the writers that they're doing it wrong. Well, like, so, one of the characters who is totally a interviewer type pony, he's like, I'm from the Ponyville Gazette, or, like, something like that. And he's trying to ask Twilight questions, and then he asks her, wouldn't it have been more realistic if the character of Twilight didn't actually come to Ponyville and just stayed in Canterlot?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, we're real ponies and we live in your city. What are you talking about? And then there's a song that's really cute and nice. But basically, at the end of the episode, the main six go into the castle and Starlight, she's fucked off to go fix the problem almost. And they're like, God, why do we still do this? This was all a massive mistake. And then Starlight brings in the two younger characters that, from the start of the episode, they're like, hey, the stories of your friendship and the lessons you've learned have actually helped us, so thanks a lot for it. Mm-hmm. You know, e.g. the actual age-appropriate fan base for the show. And they're like, thank God. And then they're like, but we still have the rest of those people outside we have to deal with. And they're like, they can wait. And of course you have people that are super mad, like, oh, well, this is what they really think about the fandom. And then of course you have the people that are finding it hilarious. I thought it was really funny because I'm seeing this and knowing exactly what they're referencing when they're making these very pointed points. Basically, it's like, if you think this episode is about you, it's about you. If it's not, it's not. Because, yeah, the movie's coming out here in a little more than a month. Ugh. It actually sucks. I got contacted by a movie place that was like, hey, we want to set up an event and you can do an early showing of the movie and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, we need a minimum 30 people, and you as the organization have to be the person to pay us, and there's a $15 food and beverage minimum, and I'm like, yo, bronies are broke as fuck on average. They're not gonna come spend $25-$30 to go see the horse film on the day of its release.
Like, some of them might, but, I mean, you can't really guarantee the...
Yeah. Well, and the sucky part is because it would be... me as the organizer basically having to get the money from people and then disperse it myself.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't sound fun at all.
Mm.
Like, if we could set it up and have people, like, pre-order tickets, and if we don't make threshold, we don't get to do it. They did that when they were showing Ruby at a couple... They were trying to do showings at a number of local things, and basically you had to hit threshold for it to happen. And so people were like, okay, we're going to do it this one. And a couple of the places made it, but a lot of them didn't. But I really don't think that I can get 30 people to agree to pay basically $30 to see an early showing of the horse movie. Like, I need to float it out there, but I think that the terms of this particular deal are just not...
Mm-hmm.
You say that there's a food and beverage minimum... but how would you enforce that except through, like, the organizer? Like, oh, you guys totally didn't generate nearly enough food and beverage, so you owe me blah. And I'm like,
no. That's called putting a credit card on file and you're on the hook for anything that didn't make it.
Yeah, and I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the upside, again, we've announced that Nightmare on Ice is last year is this year. So the timing on this was weird. We didn't announce it when we'd intended to. And you pushed it off till after BronyCon. And BronyCon shrunk again this year.
Mm.
They shrunk by 1,300 people. With a total of 3,700 people shrinkage over 2 years' time.
That's a big downturn.
Yeah, that's 37%. Because they peaked at a little over 10,000, and now they're at 63. So they've lost 2,000 more attendees than I've ever had. Which is a little frightening, but not my problem. Just, you know, writing's on the wall, pretty much. There's been a lot of weird narrative around that, because we haven't put forth reason why we're just like, yo, this is going to be our last year. If you can make it, great. If not, that sucks. Come on down, y'all. It was much more well-written when we put out the press release. But that was basically the gist of it. And people are thinking, oh no, they made this decision after BronyCon shrunk. How do we get them to change their minds? Or, oh no, they must be on fire financially and they're trying to cut their losses.
No, you've been talking about this for like the last 5 months.
Yeah. Well, we haven't been speaking about it externally. Like, it's all been internal because we know how to keep our fucking lips shut. Like, I've said it on this show, but the vast majority of people that listen to this are not also... keyed into the pony fandom, and they're probably not going to be like, hey, pony folk, you should totally listen to this. Because a trio of rambly-ass gray muzzles with a podcast with a stupid name, you know, that doesn't necessarily translate to, you know, pony must listen to.
Hey, I told you should have called your brony podcast Flarecast, but you wouldn't listen to me.
I know, right? Why couldn't we talk about horse dicks? But the reaction has generally been very positive, and a lot of folks are buying tickets, and that's great. Like, we're getting towards the, okay, now we just need to worry about paying the hotel threshold. Just under 10 weeks left? So that's nice. But I've actually gotten a couple of death threats. Like, vaguely stupid and on Facebook death threats. Like, if you shut your con down, I'm coming for your heads. And there was another one where someone put, like, I've got a 12-gauge and dragon breath shells. I'm gonna wipe you faggots out. And I'm like, okay. One, people that do that shit, they're just blowing smoke for the most part. The
kid, no, Shiva and I are blowing smoke.
Y'all are blowing smoke. Y'all got the hookah hose while I'm over here rambling. They're like,
yep.
But specifically the person that...
I like main time with Chef Sandy.
Made the vague, like, if you shut the con down, I'm coming for you. It's literally like a high schooler who's in special education, who lives in a rural ass section of a northern state 1,600 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, yo, if you're making threats on Facebook, we can figure out who you are real easy. But it's just like, really? Like, I don't think, it's just super weird that people are so entitled. Like, there was literally somebody that said, you don't have a right to do this. You don't have a right to shut the con down. The fandom needs it. And I'm like, no. It's just so bizarre. I mean, yes, fan entitlement is a major thing.
I saw someone trying to pony-splain to Bob. Like, Bob had said something, and someone replied to him, well, nobody knows why they're shutting down. And Bob replied, I do. I'm the co-chair.
Yeah. It's like, well, nobody knows. And Bob's like, yeah, you're right.
Nobody knows.
It is a mystery. There's literally, like, probably a half dozen good reasons that I could nail them off, and I'm not going to right here. But we're saving that till
listen to episode 357. Well, I don't even remember which.
This is 361.
Well, no, not this one. I meant listen to episode 357 to hear Saverin rail on why Nightmare Nights is shut down.
No. We're just saving until after the con and just be like, look, you know, it's this and this, and that's really it. I mean, but the biggest deal is, like, my parents, they ain't doing so hot. And I've got to do a lot of heavy lifting, and this time of year is really busy for them.
Yeah.
And Bob has moved 1,500 miles away.
Yeah.
Which means that you have to do all the local heavy lifting for the con.
Yeah. And Bob's got two kids going in, his kids going in, his daughter's going into first grade.
God, she's gotten so big.
You know, she's a big kid. She's going to probably be as tall as her dad.
Oh, wow, really?
I mean...
Bob's not a short person.
No. He's 6 foot something.
Hopefully she does not inherit the beard, though.
Probably not. It is always funny because...
I heard Bob was 6'7" fucking killing for fun.
Yep.
Bobbington.
6'20" weight a fucking ton. Oh, man.
So, before this whole... You mentioned the Juggalos and why that was important.
Okay, so...
And I did not know why it was important. You wouldn't explain. You made save it for the podcast. So.
Yeah, because okay. This is actually a really interesting topic, and it really shows like how the government can do something and accidentally just fuck over a whole group of people.
Okay, so...
So, basically... Juggalos are fans of the group ICP, Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah.
The FBI has classified Juggalos as a gang. So if you have an ICP tattoo, that's now considered a gang tattoo, which can get you fired. I think it can get you kicked out of the military in certain cases. I don't recall the details. Somebody on Twitter detailed it all out, but now it's like...
It's caused issues in custody.
Like people can lose custody of their kids. They're like, oh, they're in a gang. They have this ICP tattoo. And, what was one? Oh, yeah, like if you're arrested for a minor crime, well, now it's gang related. So it carries a higher, like, mandatory minimum sentencing and stuff like that.
Are pulled over by a cop and have an ICP sticker
yeah,
on your car.
Yeah, that's gang paraphernalia on your car. When it's really no different than, like, being a Trekkie or being a fan of any other band. And they're like,
you know,
the fans of Kiss are called the Kiss Army. And it's like, Kiss fans aren't considered a band, but aren't considered a gang. But, you know, if you classified the Kiss Army as a gang, then that would be the same kind of issue. So, like, they're having the Gathering of the Juggalos is going to be in September in Washington, I think it is.
They're doing a march.
You know, doing a march, which is, by the FBI standards, is now considered gang activity.
Weird.
Yeah, they're basically doing a protest. And it's one of those things you don't think about, but really, their shit's totally valid, and there is a... People are making light of it, because it is kind of funny. You know, it's the Juggalos marching for their free right of free association to not be called a gang. You know, they're...
Yeah.
Some fans of some violent-ass white rappers, but big fucking deal, right? You know, there ain't been a big... There's not a spate of Juggalo crime. They just... They're generally white, poor weirdos. And, I mean, if you're down with a clown, that's cool. And whatever floats your boat.
They're
and
just actually, fans of a thing like anybody else. And,
yeah.
You know, somebody was pointing out, like, yeah, so if you, like, got a... an ICP tattoo when you were like 17 or something like that. Now it's like this major thing. And I saw some fucking right-wing religious nut reply to one of the tweets saying, well, they shouldn't have something like sullied their flesh or something like that. Like, because there's something in some part of the Bible about not getting a tattoo.
It's, yeah, right near. It's literally in Leviticus around the same area about not eating shellfish, so...
Yeah.
And the gays.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
So this guy was like, fuck all these people and any consequences they might suffer over this stupidly thought out action by the FBI because religion.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
It's really...
Bet that guy eats shrimp all the time.
Probably.
And wears clothes made of two different materials.
Mixed fabrics.
Cuts his beard.
That polyester blend is going to cut, you know, you're going to hell.
I know. I hope he's not a farmer planting more than one crop in the same field.
There is an article I saw that basically didn't surprise me at all, but it was in this 2,000 person, so statistically significant cross-section. Basically, when it comes down to it, like, two-thirds of evangelicals will blame poverty on people just being lazy.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just like, and by and large, a lot of the, and of course, when we're going to, like, the Juggalo side of things, a lot of their fan base is the American South. But interestingly enough, they're super anti-Confederate flag. They have a song called Confederate Flag. You should listen to it. Get down with the clown. Basically, they're like, you give me shit over this, well, fuck your flag, you losers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the chorus is, fuck your Confederate flag, fuck your Confederate flag, fuck your Confederate flag. But it's interesting also because apparently it might coincide with the racist rally as well.
Yeah.
Same weekend. And so there's these funny things that, like, Dio was retweeting. It's like, furries kicking out Nazis and the Juggalos versus the Nazis, and it's like, this person's your friend, a furry. They fight for freedom. And they made another version that was based on a different one of them that's like, the Juggalo. They fight for freedom.
I saw a tweet that said something like, in 2017, furries and Juggalos coming out harder against discrimination than the president.
Yeah. Yep. This is a fucking crazy year. I mean, it's just fucking crazy.
Which, you know, that's why I think the new Coke sugar thing, it's totally a 2017 thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, fuck up something good.
Yeah, so I went out to the store and I bought 1 2-liter of plain old Coke Zero and 1 2-liter of the new Coke Zero.
Coke Zero Classic.
Yeah.
The original.
And so I poured a little bit for these two because I had already tried it, and it's like, yeah, that's the difference. The new one tastes like flat Coke.
You literally did taste this, it's awful to us.
I've done that with what is it, Vegemite? Yeah.
But it's I mean, it's totally legit. It's like we did a back-to-back taste and I was like, okay, let's see if this is actually different. It's like, oh, it is actually different and not in a good way.
No.
It tastes flat. It has more of the aspartame-y taste that Diet Coke has.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and apparently their idea was to make it taste more like regular Coke, but...
And they succeeded.
But they succeeded, but it's not flat. It's not good.
It tastes like Coke. So
I'm going to have a sip of my Coke Zero Classic.
To have an idea of how it tastes like you've taken a bottle of regular Coke, you've drank half the bottle, let it sit, come up to room temperature, and then threw it back in the fridge, and went to have some later on.
Yeah.
And it's not as fizzy, so it's flatter, and it's got that slightly... too sweet taste it gets after it's outgassed some.
Yeah, yeah.
And it tastes like, flat Coke.
And yeah, actually I noticed it too that it's not nearly as fizzy because I bought a 2-liter yesterday. I went to Kroger, I needed to buy some groceries. I got some of that Ever-Roast chicken that was the topic of a Penny Arcade comic a couple weeks ago. And I was like, all right, well, gonna fucking try it. Basically, this is where I get to say where Coke Zero Hero, the person whom we jokingly laughed at last episode, basically, because we went to Wendy's.
Mm-hmm.
That was 3 weeks ago at this point.
Yeah.
Where we went to Wendy's and they had updated the Coke Freestyle machine's interface to say Coke Zero Sugar, and I run it and they still Coke Zero, so regular Coke Zero syrup, and it tasted fine.
Yeah.
And I tweeted as much and they just replied, wrong. So, a day ago, whenever, it doesn't matter, I made a tweet where I did a little video thing and I was like, alright, we're gonna try this shit, sip it, it tastes like flat, regular Coke, and then I tweeted, Coke Zero Sugar is bad, actually, and Coke Zero Hero favorited it. There's somebody who is like, their goal in life, they have made a bot that will let them know that anytime anybody says Coke Zero Sugar in that order, that he will know to respond.
Mm-hmm.
He will tell the heretics that they are indeed wrong and saying that it is okay. I mean, I can only hope that Kroger or whomever else isn't going to change their store brand normal-ass cheap soda to follow the Coke Zero Sugar flavor.
Probably not.
Because I have no problem buying the 77-cent a 2-liter store brand shit when the regular stuff's not on sale and it's like $1.80. I may have money, but I'm still cheap when it comes to soda I drink a lot of.
To your fake sugar water?
I need my caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not too concerned about the vector. I'm one of those heretics that'll be like, all right, well, I got half this bottle of fake Coke Zero.
Mm-hmm.
What's left in the fridge? It's just fake Diet Dr. Pepper. Whatever. Mix that shit. I'm a soda renegade.
Did you guys have this thing back in the day that if you you filled up your drink from one of every soda on the machine or something, it was called a kamikaze. It was a mix of six different sodas.
I had it referred to as a suicide, but yeah.
Okay. Regional difference. This was in Florida.
I accidentally did that once though, where I have that fat travel mug of mine, right?
Uh-huh.
And it was an older machine, so it had the things a little bit closer together. And I ended up getting some Mountain Dew in my Coke Zero, and it didn't actually taste that bad.
Wrong!
Wrong! Ah!
You have sullied the experience of Coke Zero.
Yeah, I mean, I just need my sugar water, my faux sugar water that has no sugar in it. It's just caffeine. I am an addict.
In other news, I'll be an uncle on Monday.
Yep.
My sister's baby is enormous. She's over 8 pounds, and she's almost ready to pop. They're worried about other health concerns and stuff, so they're going to go ahead and do a C-section on Monday. So my niece will be born at the height of the eclipse. And so I totally told my sister, that means superpowers.
She will be the child of legend.
And she's like, that's so cool, I'm totally going to tell her that. She'll bring balance to the force.
How high is her midichlorian count?
Yep. Turns out she'll have force abilities.
And apparently my brother-in-law is nesting, my sister said. He's running around the house, getting shit ready and everything.
Making sure everything's going to be okay for mama and baby.
And I told my sister, I was like, I hope you're off tomorrow. And she's like, oh no, I got to hustle. Because she thought she had another week. before being off work. So she's got to, like, wrap a bunch of shit up at work tomorrow so that her backup, while she's out on maternity leave, will, they'll be able to, like, handle all of her stuff. So I'm like, fuck, man. She's, like, super pregnant, you know? So, like... And I understand that, yeah, you gotta line shit up for your backup, but at the same time, I'm also like, I really don't like the idea of my sister working hard, like, when she's 9 months pregnant and...
Ready to pop.
Ready to pop, yeah. Well, but, you know, she's gonna be, due to C-section, she'll get, like, 3 days in a hospital, which is cool. And then I think she's off for, like, 3 weeks, I think, something like that, so... That's nice. She'll get to spend a little time with her newborn. And if I can finagle the time off right, I mean, I'm still hoping to go out and see her for Christmas and meet my niece. So, yay! That'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm going out to see my nieces and nephew in September. Cannot wait.
Oh, speaking of nieces and nephews, I found a really neat gender-neutral term to refer to them.
Podlings.
Nibblings. It's a combination of niece, nephew, and sibling. So it could just be like, visiting my nibblings this weekend.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word.
It's a cute word, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have anything like that going on, thankfully.
Yeah.
My parents are like, well, we have grand puppies. Yep.
Yes,
they have a grand puppy. They have two, Zeus and Adam.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they have Zeus. I keep forgetting. Yeah, your sister has a doggo as well.
Yeah, I'm maybe going out to Fort Worth tomorrow because I got an order of some nail clippers. I got to go trim Zeus's nails, and I also got to trim Adam's nails because dogs' nails, they're big.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes trimming them is an adventure, but it has to be done.
Yeah, just be super careful. You fuck it up once, they'll be terrified forever.
Thankfully, both Adam and Zeus have clear nails, so you can see the quicks.
Oh, cool. Oh, and did you have to do any of this with dog when you were dog grooming?
Yeah, that's
so you have like some experience. Hands-on experience. Yeah. Yeah,
I did it on big dogs, little dogs, dogs with black nails, dogs with clear nails, pink mm-hmm. nails. You know, it's just I done it.
Is the nail color thing like a breed specific thing?
Nope.
It's just random.
Okay. Well, like, Bo is probably going to have all black nails
mm-hmm.
because it is more combat. Dogs that are mixed will have mix of nails as well.
Oh, okay.
Adam's are all clear, thankfully. Mm-hmm. And he has soft little, like, they're a little bitty, but they're a little longer than they need to be. Whereas Zeus's are starting to like curve in, and that's bad because it affects how they walk.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it would. And it's not like dogs now. They're not, well, I mean, pets are not working dogs. They're not running around outside enough to, like, wear them down.
Yeah. And actually, like, I got
oh, okay.
by some freshly trimmed nails of a friend's dog.
Okay. I was wondering whether that was Adam that got you.
No.
That was somebody else's.
That was somebody else's dog. Basically, I got to... I helped them out because they hit a curb, busted a tire, and basically they were, like, on the way back from the vet's office with both their dogs, and they were like, it's hot, and I'm in the car, and I can't leave the car because I have my two dogs, and it's too far to walk to my apartment. It was, like, 3 miles or something, and it was, like, 100 degrees. And so, basically, I'm really glad I got one of those little dog slings for my car so that they could ride in the back seat. But one of them jumped up front, and then in my attempt to put them back in the back, they flailed about and got me good. Also, I have to say that my key adventure for my car is just getting dumber.
Yeah, I mentioned
that.
Okay, so I purchased my A6 here a while back, well over a month ago, and I still have one key.
Mm-hmm.
So we called around a bunch of different Audi dealerships, because everybody prices their shit differently, and I ordered a... smart key fob and a backup key for my A6. And the first time they ordered it in, the person who did the order failed to transcribe the VIN correctly. So, like, they wrote a 4 where there should be an A or something, you know? And so that's how I'm going to guess that has to be how they determine what the key looks like, is by the VIN. So both keys came out super fucking wrong. in different ways, too. So, like, I don't know what was going on there. And then today, they come in, and they're like, it still takes several days for them to get a service appointment in. So I'm like, all right. So I take 30 minutes to drive downtown. Both the key, like, one of the keys works. The backup key works fine. It works, unlocks the door. Great. And they fucked up the grinding on the smart key. So they have to reorder the smart key again. And then I have to wait when they comes in and go down there and hope that the keys open the door. And then they have to do the key programming. Such is having a luxury vehicle, I suppose. But it was just like, seriously? And even the backup key has to be programmed, because otherwise it doesn't start the car. Like, it'll turn the lock and get you inside, but unless it's programmed to the vehicle, it won't start the car.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even the backup key, just, it's useless until they get the other key back, and it's fixed, and it matches, and it works in the doors. And this is, it kind of sucks in a way, like, you can't just go down to Home Depot and pay the tired-looking dude at the counter to make a key. It's because it's this high-end, fancy key fob bullshit. I mean, I think a lot of modern cars no longer have just simple keys. They have like their transponders or whatever to make them work. So, but that was kind of an adventure today. And then I also had the discovery that the park that I've attended Pride at, Dallas Pride, Robert E. Lee Park. Didn't know that.
Oh, great.
Yeah, just one of those, like, oh, well, huh, that's interesting. And I was running errands and so, but I was halfway tempted to, like, stop and go, like, park at the park and be like, oh, yep, that sure is a giant-ass statue of Robert E. Lee on a horse. How is that connected to the base? That's, you know, and just be like, well, that's really heavy, you'd probably need a truck. You know, can't, Saddam those statues as easily as the ones in Durham. That whole nonsense in Charlottesville basically has only accelerated the removal of Confederate monuments around the country, and I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, get these participation trophies off our public land.
Author Kat Valente made a really cool, well, really good thread on Twitter about that, about how basically they done fucked up now, you know, because, like, people on the left have been saying for ages now, you know, these people are fucking Nazis, and there's, you know, and they're KKK, and they're racist, and all these, this shit they're saying, it's this coded dog whistle crap, but now they've actually been out there with their Nazi flags and their Confederate flags, and they've run over and killed a protester, and now it's like, now you done fucked up, you know? Because Now it is right out there with them doing their Hail Hitler salutes. And it's like, you can't say, oh, they're not Nazis anymore, you know?
And like the fucking, the murderer, he fucking 4chaner, of course. Mm. Like dropping the poll memes on their fucking Facebook page and shit. Because it was one of those things where it's like, oh God, is this person, are they a furry, are they a brony? No, they didn't seem to be, but they sure had a bunch of 4chan meme bullshit on their Facebook page.
Mm.
It's like, well, and the murderer is 20. Like, this dumb fucking kid got radicalized on a fucking image board for anime. What a fucking world, right?
Jesus.
But yeah, Baltimore took that shit down. We've got people, like, yo, we're gonna try to take this shit down because there's a fucking plate in the Texas State House that was added in 1959, you know, around the time that them darn blacks decided to get uppity and demand civil rights. All these fucking Confederate shits started popping up. Is it really a big surprise that there's a big Confederate monument in Southside Dallas? I wonder why that was built on a historically African-American side of town. You know, and we got the fucking Lee statue at the Dallas Convention Center. We got the Lee statue at Robert E. Lee Park. You know, It's like, we're totally not immune from that bullshit. The fact that Baltimore had 4, like, what the fuck, Maryland? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, Maryland, I mean, there was fighting in Maryland, I'm sure.
They were all over the place. So.
Yeah, but it was just like, Baltimore is like, you know what? Nope, fuck this. Like, literally said they were going to do it, and then this shit happened, and they literally did it overnight under the cover of darkness. Just like, boop, done. Problem solved.
Yep.
Because, like, in New Orleans, they had protests and threats and these redneck pieces of shit making threats against the companies, forcing the workers to wear masks to basically do their jobs.
Yeah.
And Baltimore's just like, you know what? Where can you rent a crane at 1 a.m.? Let's get this done.
Yeah.
And I'm totally fine with that. I mean, shit, let's get some fucking Legos and make a statue to that. Or, you know, make a, you know, there's a ton of people. Replace the statue with a statue of the settlers from the Reunion. La Reunion. You know, the socialist French settlement that basically is around where Reunion Tower is.
Ah.
You know, to the pioneers of La Reunion who brought culture west. Let's do that. Let's do something about the Native American tribes that live in this area. Maybe not leave some participation-ass trophies that were put up in the fucking 60s or the early 1900s.
So I haven't checked the details on this yet. I saw a tweet and I want to actually read up on it. But apparently Sam Houston, big Texas hero, obviously city of Houston, named after him.
Kind of a big deal.
He apparently fought hard to keep Texas out of the Civil War.
To the point that he resigned from power when people agreed to it. He was like, all right, well, fuck you guys.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard, that basically he was like kicked out or resigned or something. And it's like, Jesus, dude, like, they venerate Sam Houston in this state.
Yeah.
You know?
And the Sam Houston National Forest, if you go down 45 towards Houston, there's a big statue of the dude. I'm sure that there's some bad shit that he did, but he wasn't a fucking Confederate.
Because it was the 19th century, everyone did some bad shit. But we don't celebrate the bad shit. That's the thing we're trying to, like, Trump. Oh, God, we're going on to this topic, damn it. But, and I was going to say, like, Trump trying to compare Lee and Stonewall Jackson to Washington and Jefferson. And it's like, yeah, Washington and Jefferson owned slaves. They did some shitty things. But that wasn't, like, all that they did. That wasn't, like, why they're remembered. The only reason Lee is remembered is because of the fucking Civil War and fighting for slavery.
Yeah.
You know.
He was one of their top generals. Well, that's great. He was the general on the losing side.
Yeah, and somebody pointed out, are there any other losing sides in a country's Civil War that are still venerated 150 years later? And they're like, no, most of them were hung as traitors at the time.
Yeah.
You know, but that didn't happen in this country.
Well, and again, a lot of these things like the statue in Durham were basically put up in the early 1900s, like 1910 to 1930 or so. They're these cheap-ass hollow brass statues.
Yeah, because that one, I thought it was going to be more durable. Yeah. When it hit the ground, I was honestly surprised when it just fucking, like, bent in half.
Yeah. It squished real nice. They apparently didn't mortar that shit to the plinth or anything. It's just sat up there.
It was probably mortared or something, but you get enough people pulling on a rope.
Yeah, but it was just one of those things where they were cheaply made, mass-produced statues that were put around by, like, the League of the South or the Daughters of the Confederacy, these people that were literally whitewashing the Confederacy and putting up monuments around the South and in places not actually in the South, you know. And then a lot of them popped up. There was actually an article that basically, when civil rights were progressing, more Confederate monuments would pop up as sort of fuck yous to civil rights campaigners, like naming schools, naming this, naming that, public spaces and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And we are well past the point where we should get past that. And be like, actually, no, let's not have a Robert E. Lee Park. Let's Harriet Tubman, name it fucking Rosa Parks. Rosa Park. You know, I'm sure that we can do better than venerating losers who didn't want didn't want statuary made and monuments made. You know, there's apparently writings that Lee was like, yo, let's just fucking get past this and heal.
Yeah.
Whereas people are like, actually, no, we're going to get you, make a brass picture, brass statue of you on a horse. How about that?
Yeah, I actually saw that quote from Lee, and Lee was like, pretty much, let's put this all behind us and move on. And
they're like, well, what if we didn't?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this has been your, like, mildly political lull section.
So DuckTales was good.
DuckTales was good.
Sheba needs to see DuckTales.
Yes, yep. I do.
Well, it's on YouTube. You can totally look that shit up.
A hero life's like a hurricane. Nothing bad happening. More bad stuff today. Did you hear about Barcelona?
No. Yep.
More.
Just another
driving a terrorist driving a vehicle into a crowd of people, but this time they were brown, and therefore it was called terrorism as opposed to what happened.
Yeah,
in Charlottesville.
This street in Barcelona, Spain, that is apparently it's a very popular tourist area that is usually closed to cars. Mm-hmm. So there's like lots of people walking around and stuff like that. There's florists and bakeries, you know, all these local businesses catering to the tourist trade, and somebody ran into a bunch of tourists.
Jesus Christ.
Yep.
I wonder how many more of these are we're going to see.
Well, you know, we've had people basically call this a cold civil war, and unfortunately, I don't think that we certainly haven't seen the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
If these motherfuckers think they're going to march, and they're going to try to organize and get their martyr moments, it's just going to keep happening. Like, I hope that people won't be driving their cars into crowds, because that is literally terrorist tactics. But these people are terrorists. They're inciting terror in people who are not white. They were threatening the synagogue in Charlottesville. They were threatening anybody. You know, it was pointed out, they've arrested the people. They've arrested one individual behind pulling down that statue, and they haven't arrested the four people who were identified as beating the shit out of a black dude literally next to the police station in Charlottesville.
Oh, God.
There is some real fucking very obvious, it's like, oh no, you fucking broke our participation trophy. Fuck you. You're under arrest. Oh no, you attacked a dude that was, for all we know, not actually going to protest. He was, as far as I know, just there. And even if he was a counter-protester, you split his fucking skull open and he didn't die, but fuck you.
Yeah.
You know? And they haven't been arrested, even though they've been fucking doxxed from here to tomorrow.
I donated to that dude's GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I'm sure a lot of people did, so his medical bills are at least probably covered.
Yeah, but I mean, it's fucked.
It is.
Hopefully he doesn't have any. I mean, he probably will have some lasting damage, but
yeah,
you hope it's not too bad.
But I'm just watching things pop up on like Facebook. Like my cousin just posted a very nice, anti whatever, and so it was like, but yeah, you should let them have free speech, free speech, free speech. It's like, dude, the free speech that you're talking about is the right to delegate entire races and classes as second-class citizens. You're saying that they have the right for them to no longer be considered human.
Yeah.
That's not free speech.
And people are like, you know, we're not talking about 1945 Nazis. We're talking about 1930s Nazis. Mm. It takes a while for them to get to the 1940s Nazis.
Yeah. And by the time that shit gets to that point, it's too late, you know?
Yeah. We just societally need to kick these fuckers' asses and be like, no.
Free speech is stuff like, I don't know. There's a whole bunch of things that free speech is okay. It's like,
you know what's good free speech? I don't like the new Coke Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's not good free speech? I think insert group here should be physically removed and thrown from helicopters.
Yes.
You know.
Or thrown in ovens. Or, you know,
insert horrific thing here.
Yeah.
You know. It shouldn't even have to be a fucking debate. And yet, here we are. And these fucking idiots have never actually faced any actual oppression in their fucking lives. They're mediocre white men who feel threatened that they're no longer the only person on the mic. And, you know, and it's funny because, like, when I actually had a couple people be like, I posted that silly, the whites are at it again, when it was, like, people getting mad about a statue getting squished. Mm-hmm. And someone's like, well, you're white. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not my fucking identity. Like, I'm not like, my defining feature is that I am a white male. Well, that's like, that's like a bar that's an inch on the ground.
Yeah.
It's like that is life in easy fucking mode. Even with the whole being not straight and being poor, I, as a white male, have it on fucking easy mode compared to 90% of my non-straight or people of color friends. And seeing that and realizing that and going, fuck, mm-hmm. I have it really easy. Yeah. Like, I can do a lot of shit and get away with a lot of shit that
are, yeah, it's like
people can't.
You grew up in a lower economic strata than I did, and I did not grow up in a very high one. And I would more identify with being poor or being bi than the color of my skin.
Yeah.
There is nothing about me winning the genetic lottery and ending up with this particular skin tone that I find in any way, shape, or form anything remarkable. Yeah. I mean, sure, it's what you do with your life. I mean, it doesn't matter your color, you know.
The people that make that like, oh, because I have skin that is this pigmentation, I am better than you. I mean, what a fucking group of losers.
Mm-hmm.
Be proud about something that you actually do rather than winning the genetic lottery, as you said.
And what's, you know, what's interesting to me is that, you know, people try to say like, oh, why isn't there white pride things? And it's like, but the thing is that there are, you know, we have Scottish Highland Games. We have St. Patrick's Day Parade. You know,
Oktoberfest.
We have Oktoberfest. We have all these ethnic European things. Those are for the most part white. And part of the problem that I'd read up on this, the problem for African Americans or black people in America is that it's difficult for them to say, well, you know, I have Nigerian pride or I have Kenyan pride, because all of their ancestors were brought from different parts of Africa, mostly the west coast of Africa, and brought over here as slaves, and they're descended from slaves. So really all they know is that sometime way, way back, some ancestor of mine was brought over from somewhere in Africa, which is a big fucking place, although we like to think of it as like, oh, it's Africa. It's one thing.
It's a bunch of different countries.
Yeah. But, like, you know, this is something that we've taken away from black people, is that they don't necessarily know what area of Africa their ancestry is from. So they have to celebrate their pride and their culture in a different way.
And it's also the fact that those same people who got brought over, they were often forcibly mixed with other people of unknown origin, or else raped or forced by white masters, and that further diluted their nationality. I mean, there's been so much places in history between when they were brought over to now,
yeah,
where everything was just stripped away and forced. Your origins become so lost and so diluted, it becomes so hard to have any kind of, yeah, this is where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Scottish folks that came over can often trace where they came back. They weren't packed on a boat and thrown overseas and forced to come,
right,
with no... I mean, some of them, you know, were shipped over as prisoners and such earlier on. But at least they weren't grabbed by people who didn't speak their language, thrown on a boat, dragged overseas, forced into slavery with...
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of people from other tribes, other nationalities, and just, you know, stripped of everything that made them human. You know, all their past history is just gone. So I hear exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, because like I have a little bit of pride in like being Scottish, but that's, 'cause I don't say that's white pride. though.
That's Scottish.
That's Scottish pride, and because I know I'm Scottish because I was
in the Scots born have there. A
you've got a fucking
you've got a green card, and you know, and I know a lot of the things that Scots through the ages have accomplished and invented, and you know, parts, and I like to know more about Scottish history. But that's different from just saying, I'm white and I'm the master race or whatever. That's just fucking that's dumb.
Well, it's like my surname, right? It is English, and it basically means person who lives by the seawall. That's really it.
Oh, so, I can totally see that. Yeah.
And so basically, my family name started out, I guess, being some dock workers. Who fucking knows?
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's just like, all right, well, I can trace my surname back here, and I'm pretty much English with a little bit of German, and that's about it. But I'm not like, well, I'm English, oh, you know, I'm just this fucking-ass American mutt, and I'm not like, well, I won the genetic lottery, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I'm totally down for being like, yo, Oktoberfest, great. Yo, let's go to insert
the St. Patrick's Day
festival here, yeah. Right? I have no problem with that.
Yeah. But,
you know. Really just has to do with the fact that I like bagpipes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like food and beer.
Beer's good.
Mm.
So,
you know what the invaders did to the Scots too? Was they took our bagpipes away because they knew that we liked them. Isn't that fucked up? So you know what the Scots did? They took up the fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, like, a lot of times nowadays, you'll see, like, piper and fiddle music together. Like, the two instruments complement each other very well in a lot of traditional Scottish music. But anyway.
So.
DuckTales.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
You can't tell that we care a whole bunch and we're really trying not to heart too much to rant.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Again, you know, you guys have listened to us long enough probably that you know how we lean and we try not to go too hard because, I mean, fuck, if you follow my Twitter, I am nothing but fucking retweets and as of late. It's been really stressful.
Honestly. That's my Facebook. It's all like, you know, all that is.
But, you know.
Oh, I wonder what my poll results are.
Oh yeah, because
I took a poll on Twitter, and basically there's this guy on my Facebook friends, and he's on my Facebook friends because I've known him since I was 17. I got him involved in the furry scene back when I lived in Florida, and I have not seen him since I moved to Texas 12 years ago, and I barely talk to him. And he's posting a lot of, like, shitty conservative opinions. And I'm like, so my question on poll was, should I try to explain things to him? Should I try to, like, educate him? Or unfriend, not worth the time. Final results, I got 89 people participating in the poll. 16% try to explain to him, not worth the time, 84%. So I guess the internet's kind of spoken there.
Yeah. Well, it's like, when you follow someone, they post, like, they post porn that I enjoy. This is great, this is great, this is great. And then one day they decide to start posting about stop the invasion of African migrants in the EU, and I'm like, yeah, that's just how it is. You know, you have to pick your battles, and it's one of those things that, like, we've seen people like, we're not going to allow Nazis in our fandom, and like, it's not your fandom. It's like, well, no, it's not. I don't own the furry fandom, but I have influence in the fandom, and I can help direct things in the way I think they should go. And that way is exclusionary to Nazi-ass motherfuckers. And I really have to applaud groups like Furrydelphia and Tiny Poscons who have been like, actually, yeah, this kind of shit's completely, totally banned from our cons. And Furrydelphia is this weekend, and I hope they have a really good time in Philadelphia and have fun and have a good con without Nazis giving them shit.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, one of the things about being having that mild influence, you can't affect the world, but you can affect that within your sphere of influence, and trying to make an inclusive space for
most individual people, you can affect the world in small ways.
Yeah.
And like, even if it's just letting your friends know that like they're safe with you, you know, people of color friends, your trans friends, particularly down here, which, oh, this is good news. Yes. I can actually bring up, because yes, I don't think we discussed this on the show, did we?
I was going, Jesus Christ, I hope these fuckers drop it, because it's going to make my job a lot harder. But
the trans bathroom bill is dead.
Yes.
In the Texas House. So
for now,
that's not happening. And like, the only reason it was even up for consideration this year was because the asshole governor called a special session
specifically for, yo, we're going to pass a bathroom bill because fuck yeah, trans people, basically.
And he had a couple of other shitty things in there, and they didn't all pass. A couple of things did. But like, it costs the Texas taxpayers quite a bit of money to call the legislature back into session for a special session. And so they spent all this money and they wasted all this time and it didn't happen. And the primary reason is the Speaker of the Texas House, who is a Republican, is more of a, he is a pro-business Republican, and that, and he doesn't really care about the social issues. So he was like, this is bad for Texas business. We're going to lose all this money. North Carolina lost plenty of money when they pulled their shit. Billions. So all he had to do was not bring the bill for a vote in the Texas House.
And he literally said, like, in his justification, like, for the money side of things as well, but he's like, I'm not going to have the death of anybody on my hands.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to have the suicide of some trans person on my hands. I can't deal with that. I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
And I'm like, holy shit, you've got a conscience.
Yeah.
You get 1 point.
I'm sure he and I would disagree on any number of points of economic policy, but on this issue, you know, I'm totally with him.
It's like, I will give you a point there.
Yeah, he did the right thing. And I'm very glad that we don't, now the governor could call another special session, but if he doesn't, I don't think they're supposed to meet again until 2019. So, yeah, like, apparently our legislature doesn't meet like that regularly.
Weird.
Yeah, it was, the article I read said that this bill can't really come to the floor again until 2019 unless the governor tries to make it happen again.
And if the Speaker of the House is like, actually, nah, we're not going to have this, or the Seneca, whoever, is going to be like, I'm not going to let it go to a vote.
Because it went through the Texas Senate, but it didn't go through the House. So there's that. That's good news.
Yeah, that's some good news. You know, that I was really concerned about that because I have a chunk of trans friends that attend my PonyCon, and I didn't want the last year to have this bullshit complication that I would have to...
Yeah, or for them to feel like unwelcome and unsafe coming to your event.
It's hard enough for some of them coming because just Texas. One less thing for me to worry about, at least, on that front. Because I was like... I was like, okay, how do we help these people feel comfortable here? How do we, like, what can I do? Is there any precedent for this shit? And I was having to, like, bounce off ideas and talking to other trans leaders in the pony scene. Like, yo, what would you do in this situation? How can we better do this, you know? Mm-hmm. And thankfully, I'm not going to have to, like, do anything crazy on the bathroom front. But it still is a concern that we have to make sure that people aren't going to be shits to them. Mm-hmm.
Which I loved your tweet about that, which we probably mentioned on here, but you'd basically made a series of tweets that amounted to, if any trans people at the con are being harassed or anything, I will pull badges on the harassers and wear them around my neck like a necklace of ears.
Yes. Because seriously, we don't need that shit, and we certainly don't need this shit in our fandom spaces. Like, I mean, fuck. Being... exploration of yourself in fandom spaces is super cool, and like, dudes being are totally fine to wear skirts, and you can cosplay, it doesn't fucking matter. You're there to have fun, And as long as you're covering your bits, that's cool, right?
Yeah.
At least, you know, when you're talking to most cons, and it's like, is your costume appropriate, you know? But again, like, if you're not an indie person or trans or whatever, I want you comfortable and welcome in my convention spaces for both Fiesta and for Nightmare Nights. And, you know, we're working real hard to make that a reality. And like with Fiesta, you know, we've got so many more people, but it's a little easier to do, I think, because of the more permissive and broad scope of furry versus pony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think so.
Again, it's just something that I think is super important that we make sure is a priority, because, again,
mm-hmm.
like, it's, but they've made it so that being gay is much less of an issue, and they're like, well, shit, who can we attack next? And it's trans people.
Yeah.
And here you fucking are.
And then you've got fucking gay people being like, I think the T should be removed.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, fuck those
actually,
people.
Actually, no. You know, actually, I think you should shut the fuck up. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, trans people had a major part in the Stonewall riots, and they threw the first bricks. We wouldn't have started down this path if dumb motherfuckers hadn't fucked with the wrong cross-dressing person or trans person.
Yeah, there's a little debate about that, about the person that threw the brick, whether they were trans or whether they were a drag queen. And, like, the original person, I believe, has passed away since.
Yeah.
So nobody can really ask them. But there were later interviews where, you know, they didn't express being trans.
So, either way.
So,
you know,
either way.
They're still part of the LGBT space.
They're a big part of the LGBT community and have been for a long time. And I don't know why we would be like, you know, we got gay marriage. It's like, I really don't know why we would be like, well, we got ours. So fuck all the other letters.
I know why we would be like, well, fuck you, I got ours. It's human fucking nature, but, you know, we gotta be better than
that. It's human nature for certain shitty humans.
Yeah.
It's the nature that, you know, frankly, a lot of conservatives have when it comes to economic policy.
Yeah.
You know, it's the, if there's something wrong
with
you.
When I was 20, I was able to put a down payment on a house and pay for college with a part-time job, you know? Why can't you hit the bricks?
Yeah, it's that kind of attitude, like, you know, and it's and Michelle Obama had a tweet about that, and it's not a tweet. She made a speech, and I don't remember word for word, but it was something about not slamming the door of opportunity closed behind you, to leave it open for the people that come after you. Yeah. Oh, no, I was going to mention about Michelle Obama when we were talking earlier, and she even mentioned some, you know, some people's ancestry that were like, the slaves were like raped by the white slave owners and stuff like that. And Michelle Obama is one of those people that further back in her lineage, she has some white ancestry way far back. And like, cause like they did like a genealogy thing with her a few years ago, back when when Obama was still in office, and that came up, and it's like, well, yeah, of course she does. You know, that is a thing that happens.
You can totally go and buy yourself a genetic test off 23andMe.
Oh. Speaking about that. So one of these new right-wing white groups is doing this thing where, like, they have a very exclusive membership where you have to basically prove your genetic purity, basically. Yeah. And you have to be, like, a certain percentage of pure European whiteness.
Northwestern European, okay. Specifically.
Whatever it is. But yeah, this, like, dude, like, went on a TV show and was like, he was getting the results of his genetic testing on air. And it was something like 86% European, 14% Sub-Saharan African.
Hmm.
And he was really upset by that. And apparently the host said something like, you've got some black in you, sweetie. And he was not happy about that.
Yeah.
But, and of course, apparently on their forums and stuff like that, they're talking about how they're trying to dismiss the results by saying, you know, oh, well, this is all these genetic testing things is all a Jewish conspiracy or stuff like that. Like, the trust science, if it says they're 100% white, but if it's less than that, well, it's a Jewish liberal conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Can't trust science. Fucking hell.
I'm going to see if I can log into mine.
Log into your what?
My 23andMe.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah. Panther and I did it a while back because they were doing a sale, and I'm like, yeah, let's find out.
I'm actually, yeah, I'm curious. I mean, I'd do it just for curiosity. And also, like, if someone, like, for guys like that, I would lord over being whiter at him.
Mm-hmm. Let me find it, because I keep getting the little notifications that, like, hey, you've got new ancestry. I have new DNA relatives. Okay, so what's in that?
Okay, we're going to find out live on air what Saverin's genetic makeup is.
Yep. Okay, so I participated in 23andMe, like I said a little bit earlier, and I found my password and I logged in. And so this is the genetic testing that I did. So
100% Fennec.
Yes.
Done. Moving on. Yep.
So European, 98.3%.
Holy shit.
Northwestern European, 98%. British and Irish, 66.6%. French and German, 5.6%. Broadly Northwestern European, 25.9%. Broadly European, 0.3%. Sub-Saharan African, 1.4%. West African, 1.4%. So I may have some black in my ancestry.
Way
back.
Yeah.
That could East be Asian back in the Native Roman American, times.
0.2%.
I'm sorry, what American?
East Asian and Native American, because they have very closely linked genetic groupings.
Oh.
0.2%.
Mm-hmm.
So, and basically, the 0.2% is East Asian Yakut, which I do not know where they are from. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess northeastern, like, Russia area, maybe. Mm. I'll have to look that up. So, I am...
majority British and Irish.
I am 98.3% European, with 98% of it being the pure master race 98%, right? I am way whiter, probably, than some of these the guy motherfuckers that we were talking. Just talking about.
Yeah.
So, there's that. And you know what? That's, I'm 98.3%, quotation fingers, white. Okay. What the fuck ever.
Yeah.
Who cares?
It's like, it's interesting to know.
Yeah, it's cool to know, and it actually helps you kind of be like, okay, so people in your haplogroup are more predisposed to this.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's kind of cool to know for medical reasons, too. Because, like, I was at a doctor once, and he asked what my, like, ethnic ancestry was, and I was like, well, I'm from Scotland, so Scottish. He's like, oh, yeah, people in the British Isles often have this kind of issue with this type of food and so forth, so... You know, yeah, and like you said, other genetic shit, you know, it's useful information to have.
Yeah, so basically...
But you're not about to, like, put on a fucking Confederate flag shirt and go marching about it.
No. My lineage, according to the ancestry timeline here, is, like, for the last 7 generations, I have been broadly European. Mm-hmm. And then the insertion of West African, Yakut, East African, and Native American... being 6 to 8+.
And it's Shiva said something interesting a sec ago. That I don't know if we were recording at the time, but you were like probably during the Roman, it could have been during the Roman era.
Yeah.
And that was a conversation. I think Saverin and I might have had that. Was that that's a problem. I see Saverin twice a week for lunch and then we podcast. So I never remember whether we talked about this on the podcast or whether it was an offhand conversation. But we'd been talking about how, like, widespread the Roman Empire was at its height and how they would have people from different areas of the world in their legions and to, like, hold territory and stuff in these different areas.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of people from, like, you said, like, they had a lot of people in Egypt and stuff like yeah. that. So obviously Egyptian people, you know, darker-skinned people. And so... like Doctor Who did that episode that we watched together at HavenCon.
Yeah,
where Bill, the Doctor's current companion, who is black, and they go back in time, and she's like, "History is a lot What is this?
It says a lot darker than...
Was it darker or blacker
than I've been taught.
Yeah, and of course the doctor says history is a whitewash, which he's right. But yeah, there were a lot more black people. Like, it just came up in the context of Britain and the racists in Britain and the whole Brexit thing and the get out of my country and stuff like that. But there were a lot more black people in history in Britain than most modern Britons are led to believe. Modern British people tend to think that Britain was like all white back in the day. And then all these immigrants came in and ruined everything. Well, I'm racist modern Britons, I should say. But that's not actually true. Like, there's been black people in the British Isles for a lot longer than that. And, you know, they were not a majority, but it wasn't an insignificant amount, and they were there.
The Romans specifically mixed peoples up to create a Roman identity. And the Roman Empire stretched pretty much all the way around the fucking Mediterranean.
Yeah, because you don't want all your Egyptian soldiers
in
one group together deciding, fuck this Roman Empire shit, and kicking them out of Egypt. If you're running an empire,
yeah,
they purposely mixed people up to avoid that from happening.
I googled who the Yakut were, and they are Eastern Siberian.
You were right, yeah.
So,
which I mean, way back in the day, I mean, it was like the land bridge.
Yeah,
and stuff
I mean, there's teeny tiny bit there, way back. But guess what?
Yeah.
So that's cool. I learned a thing tonight, and hopefully you did too.
Yeah.
Just because you're white doesn't mean shit. That's an important takeaway.
You ain't shit.
Also, this episode is going to be nearly 2 hours long.
Oh my god.
And we haven't even touched the emails, and we're not going to this week because it's nearly it's past 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, sorry about not hitting your emails this week, guys. We'll do them next week. But man, we're full of words. But not in a bad way. We give a damn. And we're putting our opinions out there.
Sorry, not sorry that I give a fuck about, you know...
Other people?
Yeah. Compassion is such a terrible trait to have.
What a bunch of cucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to wrap this up, though. So, if you appreciate our words, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/knotcast. You can find us on Twitter at knotcast. You can find us on Tumblr at knotcast.tumblr.com or just knotcast.com will take you there. You can find me on Twitter at SaverinBrake and see my Phoenix screaming into the darkness and lots of retweets and political stuff. You have been warned, though I really like try to put funny stuff in there, but man, recently it's been rough.
I'm going to read a tweet here on the subject of cucks. Stop calling me a beta cuck. I am the alpha and the omega cuck. The beginning and the end. The cuckaburus that devours itself. And last words. On that note, good night.
And big balls.